Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We know the back is broken on the 6 weeks of Level 5 restrictions, and we're starting to see evidence that plenty of people are struggling to stick to the recommendations. Infection numbers that were dropping now appear to have stalled. The CMO is expressing concern that progress made in the first 3 weeks of Level 5 has not been maintained. And I'm joined now by Dr. Jim McDade, who's a GP in Donegal and, of course, former Fianna Fáil government minister, and also Dr. Catherine Motherway, consultant in intensive care medicine at University Hospital Limerick. And I'll start with you, Dr. Jim McDade. Do you think when it comes to restrictions, virus-related restrictions, that the government needs to back off? Will you explain why?
What I've been saying for quite some time now is that lockdown isn't working, and that when we took a look at it from the very beginning, we all of us went into lockdown. We were back in March because of the situation that we found ourselves in. But lockdown was supposed to lockdown was carried on even when the numbers started to go down. We still carried on with the lockdown situation, so that we became attracted to lockdown, and we have been ever since. And unfortunately, it has been shown when you follow the science, if you do follow the science, that was the policy at the time, that the government would follow the science. And we have followed the science, but unfortunately, it appears that the advisors to the government, and I'm not being overly critical of them, but in my opinion, NIFID have actually not followed the science, and we're put in a situation where we are today. And still maintained, the narrative is very, very strong, and it is still maintained on the basis of fear.
So some people who have signed this white paper that you yourself have signed want NIFID disbanded altogether. Are you in that group?
Absolutely not at all. I'm quite the opposite to whatever that Sunday Independent article. Everybody has their own independent views. What quite a lot of other people wanted is actually that NIFID that we are able to talk to NIFID. People who have some similar qualifications, their own peers, that they are actually able to talk to NIFID on the basis of the decisions that they are making, and that I want them to talk to them and say, look, you have been responsible for the situation for which we find ourselves in now. The consequences of where we are now as a result of lockdown, well, we know some of them already. I'm meeting them every day in surgery, so we know them now, but the consequences of what this is going to be like into the future, well, nobody knows that. And then we've got all of Europe exactly now following the same situation.
You look at what's happening in Europe, and I know we've had over 2,000 deaths, every one of them a tragedy and very unfortunate.
Yes.
But the death rates in Belgium, in Italy, in France, across the water in the UK, much, much higher per capita than ours. We have taken the lockdown strategy, and you could argue, and I'm sure NIFID would argue, that the reason that our toll is so much lower per capita is because of those strategies.
And who could disagree when you take a look at it on figures like that there? But basically, the point that I am making is that those figures, the lockdown figures, that people are going into lockdown, and you're saying that they are now responsible for us, the figures that are down. When we went into this situation in the very first instance, it was to make sure that our hospitals were not overrun, that our intensive cares were not overrun, that the hospital numbers of people are going into hospital would never run. We should be asking ourselves, what is the impact of this lockdown on our society? And the impact of those figures on our society do not bear up when you take a look at the science and the graphs and everything else. And I know I don't want to get into science there, but they do not add up. The death rates are infinitesimally low. And I heard Dr. Professor Scally actually say that the death rates are high. The death rates are something like 0.2%. And when you take a look at it of the under 65, it is 0.05%. So all of the factors that brought us into lockdown in the first place We are, the death rates are exceptionally low.
Let's bring in Dr. Catherine Motherway on this now, because you heard Jim McDade's argument there. He is saying that the cure is worse than the disease.
Exactly. Yes.
I have no doubt, and I would agree with Dr. McDade, that lockdowns are very difficult on societies. And other societies have managed to reduce viral transmission without widespread lockdowns. They're different societies to us. I have no desire to see pubs, restaurants and people like that absolutely decimated in terms of their livelihood. What I have a desire to see, and what I think this entire country has a desire to see, is low viral transmission rates so that we can go about our normal daily lives carefully and try and get transmission rates down so our healthcare can actually function. I mean, we've seen in the last number of weeks that we've had a number of outbreaks in hospitals, which has made delivering non-COVID care, which is a, you know, very important to all of us, very difficult. So this is a personal thing. For people need to continue to do the personal things that they need to do, which is wash their hands, wear a mask, do the physical distancing, and avoid crowds and crowded places, and isolate when they have symptoms. And obviously, Jim would agree with all of that, I have no doubt, and ring their GP and get advice if they have symptoms. What the government need to do, and what the government have been advised to do, and what governments all over Europe, I think, possibly didn't do as well as Asia, was actually get their test, trace and isolate systems up and running and keep them up and running even when viral transmission rates are low. And that's a thing that I think the WHO would argue that Europe did not succeed in. And I think this time round, once we get viral transmission rates down, as we open back up again, the test, trace and isolate system must be stronger and help. And people need to understand how to isolate and keep away from their own family in their own home, because obviously transmission in households is a big problem.
Okay. Can I ask you, Dr. Motherway, do you think that the level five restrictions are an overreaction to the number of cases that we're hearing about every day?
Initially, the first time it was mooted, I was a little surprised. Subsequently, when I saw the numbers rise and rise dramatically, I was actually quite relieved that the measures taken were taken, because they seemed to be what this society needed to tell them that this is again a problem. I think what our society needs to understand that coronavirus is a problem which individually in itself, as Dr. McDade says, in young people has a very low mortality rate. In older people, it has a very significant mortality rate. And we need to protect those people. And the only way to do that is to reduce viral transmission rates.
Okay, so by reducing movement across society. Yes. But Dr. McDade, can I bring Dr. McDade back in? You believe that the vulnerable groups of people can be protected and everybody else can go about their business?
Yes, of course. Of course, they can be protected. And as I said, the younger groups. That was the whole idea of this group being set up in the first place. That yes, the main part of it was that the vulnerable groups should be looked after. And when you take a look at Paul Reid and what he was saying this morning with all the reductions that the HSE have brought about with all the reductions and the death rates, etc., in comparison to where we were previously, then that was proven out. That the fact that the HSE are able to bring these about through the amount of funding that they have been given. But you're quite right. The amount of the death rates here are, as I said, are minute. I mean, every death rate is, of course, a very sad affair. And yes, I saw the headline in the newspapers yesterday, and there were 2,006 people that had passed through life with the COVID. But I mean, you must remember as well that if you take it on that there are 80 to 90 people actually die every day in this country, and when you take it in the last 11 months, then okay, there was 24,600 people passed away as a result of non-NIFID conditions, and we never hear about them. Why is it that NIFID and Corona have been given the priority that they have been given when the facts and the science, everything that is currently around us are indicating that the opposite. This has become a film star role for a virus that doesn't deserve such platitudes at all.
Catherine Motherway, a film star. We've made a film star of COVID.
Well, you see, my problem is I don't believe that we actually are just counting or looking at COVID deaths. I think that everybody acknowledges that there is a lot of non-COVID disease, and I've been saying this, and we need control of COVID to actually take care of all those people. If my hospital is overrun, and if I cannot run scheduled care because we have COVID running widespread in the community, then that will adversely affect people with cancer, heart disease, any other disease that you care to mention. There's loads of them. COVID interferes with healthcare systems working properly. If we have high viral transmission rates, it interferes with our ability to deliver all healthcare. We saw that in Italy. We're seeing that in Belgium. We're seeing that in France, where transmission rates in their communities rose and rose exponentially. And the other thing that people don't understand is exponential. So if your R number is 2 and you have 1,000 cases, in a few days' time, it'll be 2,000. In a few days' time after that, it'll be 4,000. It's exponential. It's logarithmic. And when you get to a certain tipping rate, you actually will end up with an awful lot of really sick people.
And can you protect the vulnerable people and let everybody else move around and have a normal life?
I don't
life?
Think you can, because the vulnerable people need the younger people to take care of them. And you don't sometimes know you have this disease and you're transmitting it.
Can I just comment on that point, please?
Go ahead, yeah.
But the very people that you are actually trying to protect, the younger people that you are actually trying to protect, those disadvantaged, those who have lost their jobs and so on, they are the very people that have been hit hardest by lockdown. Those very same people. You are actually trying, and when it's quite a simple situation, we now know to look after the elderly people, our nursing homes and so on, that we have forgotten about those people that we have actually tried to protect in the first instance. That is what is happening. You know, an unbelievable amount of care has been given, handed over to take for these young people. I'm okay. I'm sitting at my phone. I'm taking in a wage. You're okay. We're all okay. But there are those people who are out there who are sitting around, and we are letting them. They take a huge amount of responsibility to make us feel better, to protect our lives. Literally, they are sacrificing much of their own.
What happens, Jim, if we do what you're saying, and if we open up and we say to people, if you're vulnerable, you've got to shield yourself, and if you're not, you go about your life? What happens if we were wrong?
Yes, I mean, and it's quite possible that we're wrong. I mean, you could actually say to all the countries in Europe that are now looking for lockdown, because they take a look at the Irish and the way that the Irish have managed to keep their numbers down. I would say to those people in Europe that are thinking about bringing in lockdown, give a call to the Irish. Phone up the Irish and try and find out the both sides of the story. And I really do feel that when you hear and see the other side of the story, I think that you will have second thoughts about bringing in your lockdowns. And France, you made a question of France. France is one of the hardest hit and is in the second phase of a very, very hard lockdown. And all of these countries, it isn't working that. There are other people who are taking the responsibility, and they are the people, the economy of this
country.
Why
do you think? Why do you think that France has been very hard hit, and Italy and the UK and Belgium?
That's a matter, as I just said, everybody has their, every country has different causes.
Well, they didn't do lockdowns at the right time.
Well, yes, that's not necessarily a lockdown. When we did lockdown not at the right time either. I mean, when we should have been coming out of we should have been really thinking about not going into lockdown on the first instance, continued on with the lockdown, we should have been coming out of it. But those countries that I have just mentioned, they have their different and separate problems. And as I said, Ireland is as a case in fact. What we have actually done, really, well, and you by the way, you yourself was the person who actually demonstrated it quite clearly when Leo Varadkar was making his third point that night. What do we do about the 400,000 people that are going to be out of work on Monday morning if I make this decision tonight? And what was he told by Neffert? He was actually said, that's a matter for the politicians. And in that one sentence, that actually meant that Neffert controls the economic and social policy of this country.
Is that true, Catherine Motherway? Do you agree that Neffert has too much control?
Well, I hasten to add, I'm not a member of Neffert and do not advise them, all right? So I am an ordinary intensive care doctor who is trying to provide healthcare, as is Jim, to our patient population. And I am very and painfully aware that this disease adversely affects people who are poor, who live in poor environments, and who are the most hit by the economic consequences of the current lockdowns that we are experiencing in Europe. I have referred already in my commentary to places like Asia, where they have actually managed to open up society and open it well using very good contact tracing and very good public compliance and adherence to the requirements that we currently have until we actually have some form of vaccine. And our lockdown this time round is not as severe as it was the first time round. And that is good.
I accept you take on Asia, but just even to back up the point, if you take a look at the continent of Africa, you take a look there, and you think that Africa, because of the NIFID modelling, which is basically a European modelling type of affair, if we were to apply the modelling that NIFID does, such shall we say the continent of Africa, you talk about Asia. The continent of Africa was reportedly to have 300,000 to 3.3 million deaths, because the continent of Africa, of course, has found viruses from every corner of the globe has visited the continent of Africa.
And what's the point about Africa?
When I last looked at that particular figure, which was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, the death rate on the continent of Africa was 35,000. Why? One of the reasons being, of course, that they probably have developed immunity from all the other viruses that they've had down the years. But one of the big things was that their mean age group in the continent of Africa is 22. Mm-hmm. 20 to 22. And you go down then to take South Africa, where you've got an older age group, then of course the numbers are higher and the death rates are higher. So it goes to prove that we can't.
But we're not Africa.
I know, but that's what we're saying. We're not Asia either.
Catherine Motherway.
No, we're not Asian or Africa, but I think we can learn from different societies because none of us want to be locked down.
The point I'm making basically is that the younger age group, it would appear that they are able to develop some form of immunity to it. As I said, the age group over there being 22 is factual. So those people have shown us that,
okay.
I mean, as I said, NIFID have taken over the policy, the social and economic policy here, and all we want to do, I'm not against NIFID, all we want to do is to ask them those questions, but they continue to refuse to actually talk to anybody, not me. I'm just like, I don't say you're much better than I am, sure, but I'm just like yourself. I'm just an ordinary GP that becomes frustrated when I see all of this happening around me.
Okay.
And then bringing people into lockdown and after lockdown. And by the way, the next lockdown is I have to bet on it, will be in January. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. And we have quite a bit of it here in Donegal. I don't expect us to get out of level 5 as we speak.
Well, we'll see what happens. I want to come back to Catherine Motherway on the point you made about younger people developing some sort of immunity. Is there any evidence for that or anything that you've seen that would suggest that that's the case?
There is no doubt that young people have less severe consequences from this disease in terms of deaths. There's absolutely no doubt that age makes this a more, the older you get, the more likely you have to have a problem. Younger people, some of them are presenting with long COVID, 1 in 10 of symptomatic patients. Apparently, it's quite a significant morbidity issue for those people. I am not working in that area, but I'm aware of it from listening to WHO guidance. But there's no doubt the death rate in young people for this disease is low. There is no doubt that young people get this disease and survive it and do well. Their difficulty is trying to prevent transmitting it to their parents, mm-hmm, or vulnerable relatives. That's my concern with young people, okay, predominantly,
Claire,
in terms
point,
of breaking chains of transmission.
All right, yeah. Final point,
Jim. Just the last, which is the next point that I would make. Whenever I say lockdown, appears that it's going to do, we have the vaccine coming on board. I really do hope that the vaccine does give us something to look after, but we must, the government's current situation with these five levels ends in June. This coming June.
Okay.
What we need to be doing now is not what we did, what we're left to do during the summer months. We should be planning just in case the vaccine isn't as successful as we are hoping that it would be. We should be planning that. And planning, that means, in my opinion, this is a personal opinion of it, that students are now returning from the university, they're going to the university, but they're all coming back at the weekend. They're all coming back. They might come back. So they're all coming back, and that's why we're getting
Jim,
all the
household. We've got to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us, Jim McDade and Dr. Catherine Motherway. Now, you'll be glad to hear that after the break, we're going to be talking about funny movies.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.